Welcome to PCMC, Pop Culture, Man, Children. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by my good friend, Nadia Cater. Nadia, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Ooh, all right.
I'm feeling loose. I'm feeling good. I'm excited to talk about what we're going to talk about today. What are we going to talk about today?
We are talking about Talk to Me.
Talk to Me. From 2022, this is a horror film, an Australian horror film. If you've never seen it, it's the movie with the hand. You saw the trailers. They're all over the place online.
You know what's really bizarre, though? It's like, I watched so many of those trailers, got really into it, was excited to watch this movie, didn't know it was Australian until 5 minutes into the movie, and realizing everyone had an Australian accent. And I was like, how did I miss this in the trailer?
I haven't watched the trailer since I saw the movie, but you know, some I wonder if they hide it, because sometimes they do that, like the way they hide musicals, like you don't really know what it is until you go.
Like, oh no, people think that they need subtitles to understand Australian accents, they're not going to go see this movie. That's
Australia, I don't have a problem with. I recently watched the Netflix series Derry Girls. Have you ever seen
Oh, I
Derry Girls?
love that show.
I had to watch that with subtitles.
Yes, me too, because I could not understand what
The
they were
Irish
saying.
accents are so thick, and some of the word choices, like they call everything cracker. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
The slang is so unreal, because you also have to consider it's 90s Irish slang, so
Yeah.
it probably didn't come over here.
Yeah.
There's also, okay, one of the most bizarre things about watching that show is, do you remember the dance where they went to the school dance and then everyone did like a rowboat line dance?
Yes.
I had to look that up. That was real. That was a real,
Really?
real, it was like the Macarena version for the UK.
Wow.
And when I was watching that, I was like, this is so coordinated and strange. And I was like, no, people did this. People sat on the floor and pretend to row a boat all in a
Wow.
line. Which I guess, you know, it's not more insane than the Macarena. Because again, that is also
People did
rows
the
of
Macarena
people.
hardcore. But people still at weddings, like, if it's an older crowd, we'll do like the electric slide or
Yeah.
the funky chicken. Like, people still do weird shit.
They do. It's still weird, though. It's
Oh yeah,
weird
it's
to
always
like
weird.
it's weird that it's normalized, and then seeing someone else's normalization is also then it reminds you of how weird people are. That's my take on that. But yeah, so Derry Girls is excellent. Yes, you do need subtitles, but it's totally worth it. Or at
Yes,
least I don't know.
I didn't need subtitles for this though. Talk to Me came out in 2022. It is directed by Danny and Michael Filippo, who are also YouTubers. They started as YouTubers, which was you and I also talked about the horror film Skinamarink, and they were YouTubers too. I guess this is the future. Like, we're gonna have like that's a way in, you know what I mean? Like, go from YouTube to filmmaking, which is fine.
Do you think it would be YouTube or like TikTok or Instagram?
I feel like maybe all together, but I feel like TikToks are they're too small. You know what I mean? Like, people don't get too cinematic with them.
No.
Whereas, like, I looked at a little bit of these kids' YouTube stuff, and I was like, okay, I could see how they became filmmakers.
What were they making on YouTube? I didn't see
Like,
them.
kind of horror comedy stuff. This movie is directed, sorry, this movie is written by the two brothers. It's also written by Bill Hinsman, and it's based on a concept by Daley Pearson. It stars Sophie Wilde as Mia, Joe Bird as Rally, Alexandra Jensen as Jade, Miranda Otto from Lord of the Rings as Sue, their mom, Zoe Tarakis as Haley, and Chris Alozio, sorry, there's no N in there, as Josh, who's the more I've watched this like three or four times now, I like Josh more every time I watch it, even though he's not a good person.
What do you like about him?
He's funny. He's wild. I like the way he's the sort of keeper, or one of the keepers of the hand. So anyway, I want to go through the whole movie, but the idea, if you don't know, is the it's in Australia, and there are these kids, and these two kids have a looks like a ceramic hand, and it's got like writing all over it, like you would see like on a cast of someone like broke their arm. And they play this party game where they tie someone to a chair, and then that person, and they light a candle, and then that person like holds hands with this hand statue, basically, and they say, "Talk to me." And when they say that, they can see the dead. They open themselves up to perceiving spirits. But then the next step is they say, "I let you in," and then they become possessed by the spirit. And what's really, really interesting about this movie is that they depict the possession as a high. Like the reason why these kids are so drawn to it is like when they do it, after they come out of it, they're like blissful. They're like, oh my God, what a trip. And the movie kind of depicts using the hand as like a drug addiction. It's really interesting.
Oh yeah, that was an interesting take that I wasn't expecting.
Oh, yeah.
And also every encounter they're recording it.
Yes. Social media is a big part of this movie as well. There's a lot of interesting concepts in here. I want to go through it because, you know, I want to ruin it for everyone who hasn't seen it, but I want to go through it because when something's this good, I like to close read it a little bit because I feel like there's so much to talk about. My one like elevator pitch for this movie is it's somewhere in between an Ari Aster movie and an 80s teen slasher. It's got the disturbing imagery of Ari Aster, but none of the malaise, none of that like depressing stuff from Ari Aster movies. It's like got kids in it, and it's flashy and fun on top of being super scary. It's produced by A24, which I don't know if you know this. Like young people, young film fans, they love A24. A20, you know, like there is we're at a place now, I think, where like it's almost like the early days of Hollywood cinema, where like MGM was known for their musicals, and Warner Brothers was known for their sort of black and white gangster movies and stuff. Like, kids would be like, "Oh, this is like an A24 movie." Like, I've seen like Instagram videos with just like an interesting filter, and they'd be like, "Ah, this is A24 vibes," which is it's very simplistic, but I find it cute, and I like that kids like it. You know, as an older person, I'm always worried that people are just going to stop caring at all about movies. It's just going to be me. So I'm like, when kids are into A24, I'm like, okay, that's cool.
I love A24 and I'm middle aged. So it honestly it A24 does give me hope. Like as just the production, and they've really been folk they do other stuff, but
They
they've really
distribute a
been
lot too. They do, you know, a lot. They started off as just a distributor, but they take gambles on things. It reminds me of, and this is gonna sound bad. It reminds me of Miramax way back in the 90s, before we knew Harvey Weinstein was a serial rapist. Like, do you remember when Miramax was like shorthand for like indie, cool little indie movies? It kind of went downhill after they won an Oscar for what was it? Shakespeare in Love. But like there was a time where it was like, oh yeah, Miramax. That Quentin Tarantino's movies came out of Miramax and stuff like that.
Okay, all right, yeah. I know I see what you're saying. I'm looking like on A24's like wiki, and they do a lot of distribution, but you're right, like some of the distribution is really interesting, like Everything Everywhere at Once, Hereditary, This Movie Talked to Me, Midsommar. That I didn't see it, but I wanted to. The Iron Claw, that
I
was
saw that.
the was it good?
Yeah, it was good. It's very depressing, but it
Yeah,
was good.
well, yeah, that's a line. Okay. So it's kind of interesting that, every time I see the A24 logo, I get excited. So I was like, oh, okay. And I'm in for something just kind of, interesting. And it's funny that you say it's kind of like an 80s slasher mixed with
Ari
sorry, well,
Aster.
Ari Aster. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't quite have the Ari Aster like cynicism that he does.
Right, that dour look on wor the world.
Oh God, yeah. Like I think the most dour was Beau is Afraid, which is,
I haven't seen that one.
oh my goodness, it's basically it's like the most non, it's the most horrific non-horror movie that I've seen in a
Interesting.
while. Well, it's the whole concept is basically this man being haunted by the relationship with his mother, just like she's this like glooming presence that kind of like takes over his life. It's basically like every Jewish man's nightmare is like
I was gonna
they're
say,
over.
is it about a young Italian boy?
Well, you know, Jewish people, Italian people, they're kind of, you know, they're kind of like
New
cut from a
York.
similar cloth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the, oh, also the depiction of New York in that movie is like every conservative's nightmare. It's like what they think New York is like, just being outside, you could be violently attacked at any moment. Like when I was watching that, I was like, this is so funny. Like this is unreal. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, A24 is doing some great stuff. Back to Talk to Me. What it kind of reminded me of are the Insidious movies, like the way they depict the
Sure.
afterlife
Yeah.
and how the ghosts are kind of like out of time a little bit in comparison to real life. Like that it kind of took from there.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. A couple of years ago, me and my brother did an episode on the great film It Follows. And have you seen It Follows?
No, I haven't.
So in that movie, like the menace takes on different it appears looking like different people in different co and sometimes they're in costumes, sometimes they look bruised, sometimes they're just there's one guy who's just oddly tall. And we really had like a real semiotic time going through all the different kinds of it representations and saying like, what do you think of it? I think that we could do that a little bit here too, because every spirit that you see in this movie, just by looking at them, it tells a story, but you're not exactly sure what the story is. A lot of them look waterlogged. A lot of them look like they drowned. And there's even like sometimes you hear like a bubbling, like watery sound in the background, which is really weird. And
Sounds
they all have the
frightening.
also like pale, like rheumatoid eyes, like milky eyes, all the spirits in this.
Yeah, it's interesting because it kind of takes on like it's as if they're showing what their bodies probably look like if they weren't embalmed. It's
Yes,
kind of,
yes, yeah.
yeah, but not again, it's like you were saying, it kind of seems like underwatery, but then you wonder, is it because they that's how they died, or it's because the afterlife is kind of like being
Well, that's what
underwater.
I wondered. I feel like this movie, like I wrote a list of like discussion questions because like there's certain like open-ending mysterious things in this movie. That I wanted to talk about because like you can really dive into like what is this movie saying about the afterlife? You know, what if I've never thought of the afterlife as the only what an interesting thought. Like afterlife is underwater. I mean, why not, right? Let's say there's a such thing as an afterlife. Most of this planet is water. So why not your spirit goes underwater? That's an interesting idea. Another really interesting idea with this movie is that the dead are horny for living people and they miss having bodies. They miss having corporeal bodies. So like they're very, very sexual. When they possess you, it's a very sexual thing. There's one kid who he does the ritual with the hand and like he starts like rubbing himself and he like comes while the spirit is in him. And there's
Oh.
another one who like that really weird woman-looking one who's like crawling on the ground in like a nightie, but like she looks all bruised and stuff, and her hair's all wet, and she sucks on the kid's toes.
Oh God, that was one I texted you about that when I watched it. I was like, this is one of the most harrowing things I've seen in a horror movie. You know, back to that kind of underwater thing, because at the end we get a glimpse of what the afterworld is like for the ghosts, because we only see them in contact with the living. And at the end is completely pitch black. Like, why wouldn't that be the middle of the ocean where we have nothing? And that's also absolutely frightening. And maybe it's cold. Maybe that's why they look waterlogged and wet. And maybe they have they have an empty feeling or a feeling of coldness, and that's why they're going for the living, which
Yeah.
is actually that's actually something that happened in Insidious, because I watched it a couple months ago,
I've
because I
only
hadn't
ever
seen
seen the first one.
the first one. I think is the best one. The second one I watched in theaters, and spoiler alert for a 10-year-old movie, it kind of like has this weird almost psycho ending where like an evil ghost turns out to be like, because they experienced like forced gender kind of reassignment,
Oh my
which is
God, was
like,
this sleepaway camp?
yeah, I know. I was like, this is too, and even back then when I watched it, I think that's if I'm remembering this correctly, I was like, this is too late in the game for this kind of movie. Like, this is
Was
like,
Insidious 2 written by J.K. Rowling?
oh God, she keeps digging her own grave, man. Like, that's basically her career now. It's like, let me troll
Yeah, I
trans
know.
people online. Like, that's it. I don't need to write books anymore. I just need to make trans people feel bad about themselves regularly. But yeah, so there's kind of a similarity of like the dead are craving being alive, and that's what draws them
Yes,
to this
yes,
hand.
yes. And they're
We also,
devious too.
oh yeah, which makes me wonder, are these, that's not answered though in this movie, is like, is it every ghost, or do some move somewhere else and these are the people stuck in some sort of purgatory?
Right. Yeah, the film in some way seems to answer questions, but the more I've watched it, the more I found what I would say are purposeful incongruities that I think are there to make you go, well, let me think about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you've seen the original Exorcist, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that's in the movie that was in the book is that Reagan has a the little possessed girl, she has a terrible, violent reaction to holy water. But then the priest says it's actually not holy water, it's just tap water. She thought it was holy water, which is an incongruity, right? It's one small piece of evidence that she's actually not really possessed. And in the book, there's actually a lot of that. The book is way more, you can kind of read it any way you want. You could read it as she's possessed, or you can read it as it's this other phenomenon.
Like
But anyway,
psychosomatic?
yeah. Oh, yeah,
Oh.
exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there are incongruities here. There are things that are like, why did that happen? Or why did they say that? Or, you know, the whole thing with the main character's mother, I think, I want your opinion on it because I don't know if it's as cut and dry as they say. But all right, let's start. Sorry. So it begins, first of all, it begins with 900 logos. It's like that Family Guy joke. That's how you know a movie doesn't have a lot of money and they're just getting a little money from everybody. It's like a million. You're like, oh, this is the movie. No, it's another logo. Oh, wait, okay, this is the movie. No. It begins with a unbroken shot of this kid going into a wild party and he's looking for his brother Duckett. And if the camera follows him into the house past all these kids and all these lights and people screaming. He's like, hey, have you seen Duckett? And someone's like, who the fuck is Duckett? It's just like a party. And he goes into the house, and then, you know, somebody in the house goes, oh, your brother's locked himself in the bedroom. And it looks like it's a drug thing. It looks like someone's freaked out on some kind of hallucinogenic, the way it's being depicted, right? Because partying and doing drugs is always somehow related, depiction-wise, with the hand. So the brother breaks the door down and there's his brother inside, and the one inside, we don't see his face, his back is to us, and he's got like bruises and scratches all over his back, and he's like seeing shit. And he says something interesting. And this is evidence that maybe the spirits lie to you. The one inside, the one who's having the breakdown, says to his brother who's saving him, Pop said you hurt a lot of people. And then the brother's like, Pop's dead. And then the other brother says, you're not him. It's just like weird. When I first watched it, it was like, okay, just weird, crazy. He's like fucked up language. But the more I think about it, the more I'm like, just like with later on with Mia, was he actually talking to his dad or is it a spirit pretending to be his dad? But anyway, they come out of the party and now. When they come back into, again, it's all one shot. When they come into the kitchen again, everybody's got their phones out and everyone's recording this like happening. And the brother who's with her is like, put your phones away. This is fucked up. Blah, 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 blah. What's wrong with you people? And then the brother who's having a fit stabs the other brother in the chest. He falls down. Everyone's screaming. And then the brother who's like seeing things walks outside and he just stabs himself in the eye. And then it's the title, Talk to Me. That's all one
Ugh.
shot. That's our beginning. And then we meet our lead character, Mia, who I think is a really good performance by this actress, Sophie Wilde. But what did you think of Mia as a character, as a person?
I think she's clearly a very flawed, grieving
Yeah.
character, and I thought that was really strong. Like, I think generally when we look at horror movies, we don't have characters so much as character like archetypes.
Yes,
And
yes.
Mia is very complicated
Yes, she
for
is.
a main, and she clearly makes a lot of mistakes
Yes.
and is very affected by her mother's death. And
Yes.
it's it I think this movie does that really well. Like, she's clearly a three-dimensional character.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah, we know her mother died and she's very isolated. Like the first time we see her, she's in a public space, but she's like listening to this music on headphones or listening to something on headphones, maybe some recording of her mother. So she's sort of isolated. And we know that she has a dad that she lives with, but the dad's like always in the background out of focus. Like she's so isolated and she's kind of glommed herself into this other family, her best friend's family. And her best friend is Jade, and Jade's mother, Sue, and Jade's little brother, Riley. She like sleeps over there constantly and is like kind of like, for in a way that seems unhealthy, but again, it's three dimensional. You see why it's happening, but you can tell it's unhealthy. She sort of weaseled, not weaseled away is not the wrong way. This is not the right way to say it. She's become part of this family somehow. And her friend Jade is dating a kid that she used to like and probably still does like, it seems. She makes jokes about it, but they're uncomfortable jokes. Like when the boyfriend's name is Daniel, when he comes in, Jade hugs him, and then Mia comes up and hugs them both and says, "Our boyfriend," which is,
Oh,
yeah, there's
that
awkward
was.
shit. There's awkward shit, and people don't like Mia. Like the two characters that have the hand, which are Haley, who's a non-binary character, and their friend Josh, they're throwing party and Mia comes in and Haley's like, "Oh, fuck me." Like everyone's like, "Holy shit, this girl's here." It's very awkward. The movie's got a lot of awkward fucking shit in it.
Yeah, I even though the character that the actor that plays Joss is like not a teenager. I mean, he looks like a big dude,
Yeah.
but like, yeah, I was looking up the IMDb, like he is not a teen. I think he's like 30 something years old. But they feel like teenage structures, I guess. It's I don't know how to say this, but like it kind of feels just teenagery. I don't know if that makes
Right.
sense.
Like, obviously, they know Josh and Haley because they go to the same school. And Josh and Haley have been posting these videos. Like, this stuff is all like, we're kind of in media res. Like, they're talking about videos that they've been posting about people being possessed. And Jade is like, this is bullshit. She's faking it for views. But you don't get the feeling like they're actually friends with Josh and Haley. Because Haley's kind of a dick to everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of like Haley's a dick, but they know because they have this hand that they could treat people kind of poorly because
Which
they
is
have this
like,
like power.
have you, have you known drug dealers in your life? I have known plenty.
I'm kind of like an oblivious person, so I'm
Okay.
sure I have known, but
Well,
maybe
let me
more
tell you
like
from my
context.
experience,
Sure.
drug dealers sometimes, I'm not saying they're all bad people, some are great people. And I've had friends that were drug dealers that they were actually my friend. But there are some drug dealers that are. They know that they have a thing other people want, and that's their big draw. So they get their socialization through that, and they like that people try to be around them, even when sometimes they're kind of a dick. It's a weird thing. Like a drug dealer sometimes will be like, make you hang out with them. I don't do drugs. I haven't done drugs in almost 10 years, but I remember what it was like.
That is great insight. So you would say that this was a pretty accurate.
They're like dealers. Haley and Josh are like dealers, right? They're kids that they know in the school. They don't really have a problem with, but they're not really close to. They throw these parties. They're the keeper of the hand, and the hand is the drug in this movie.
And I thought that was a good choice.
Yes, yes.
Because you have to have some sort of motivation on why people want to do this thing. Like, and teenagers with sort of drug use and also that kind of peer pressure, I think they work really well together.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And for Mia, she's dealing with so much grief and so much pain. I think she wants, I mean, some often people who are depressed use drugs, right? Like she wants that vacation from her mind. She says, there's another character, Jade's little brother Riley, who's like this very young kid. He's trying to be cool, but he's like a young kid. And he asks, after Mia does it for the first time, like lets a spirit in her, he says, "How did it feel?" And she says, like, "It felt amazing. It felt great. Everything was okay. I was like, it was my life, but I was in the passenger seat, not in the driver's seat," which is like drugs. You know what I mean? Like the great comedian Eddie Pepitone said, like, drugs are just vacations for poor people.
I think that's a great way to put it. Because I don't know, I feel like generally as a society we see drug use as like a moral failure, without taking into account why people do drugs. Like
Right, of course.
for example, with homeless people, I've always every time I that kind of comes up, there's always some person in a conversation that's like, well, you can't give homeless people money because they'll just use it for drugs. And I'm like, yeah, because they're homeless.
Yeah,
Where are they
like
gonna
let them have
go?
drugs.
I'm
Why
like,
can't
you
they have drugs?
like
People
and
just
like
say
it.
that to themselves to convince themselves that they're not bad people for not giving them money. That's really all it is. They're like, "Oh, I don't want to give them money." Although there was a unhoused guy that I used to see every day outside 7-Eleven near me, and I would give him money, and then I stopped because one time I gave him money and he just went in and bought a scratch-off ticket and lost and then came out again. And I was like, "Did you just use my money to buy that scratch-off ticket?" He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Why don't you use the fucking money to buy something? Like food." He was like, "Oh, I win sometimes." I was like, "Nobody wins sometimes. I mean, yes, we all win sometimes, but you lose most of the time. I'm not giving you money anymore."
I was the stopping point for you. You're like, drugs, fine, but lotto tickets, the
This is just
tax
throwing money.
on the poor,
I don't know. I sound elitist whenever I talk about this, but I'm very, very anti-lotto. I think lotto is just one of the most cruel tricks that's played on working people.
I mean, so is gambling.
Yes, well, yeah, it's the exact same thing. Yeah,
Have you ever been to a
it is
casino?
gambling.
Have you ever been to a casino?
Yes, I have.
I only went a couple times, and it's constantly the most sad
Oh,
place I've ever
yeah,
been. Horror, like
it's horrible.
you can smell the defeat when you walk into those things. Like it's oh God,
Yeah, it's
it's
terrible.
ugh, yeah. But so yeah, exactly. So like the drugs is escape from the mind. Mia is just so out of it. I kind of got the feeling from watching the movie that her father tries really hard with her, but she's the one that like cannot handle
Right.
being around him. And I think it's because he was the last person that saw her mother before she died.
And he's keeping something from her.
Yeah, he's
Right.
also keeping, and she's it's more it seems like she unconsciously knows that, but she doesn't want to deal
Yes,
with the
you're right.
reality.
You're right. The mother, so how the mother died was she took a bunch of sleeping pills, and the father was sleeping in the living room. And the next morning, the father got up and he went to go in the bathroom, but he couldn't open the door because the mother's body was blocking it. He finally got the mother out and she was dead, but she had wood under her nails and blood on her nails, like she was scratching at the door.
Oof.
And the so Mia says it wasn't suicide, but like you said, I think she kind of thinks it may have been. But doesn't want to deal with that. But again, that's an incongruity. Like, is she, why would she scratch? Or though, people try to die of suicide all the time, and then in their last moments try to undo it. That's just another one of the mysteries of this movie. Hey, I got a question for you. This is some real film class shit.
Okay.
Mia, the movies is basically like a lot of the color of the movie is very cool blues and stuff, but Mia is almost always in yellow, and she stands out often in the frame. Jade's house isn't exactly yellow, but it's a little bit warmer. What do you th First of all, did you notice the yellow? And do you think, how do you read that?
I read that as Mia is just another way that Mia is so disconnected from everyone else. And Jade's house was lit better than Mia's house. Mia's
Sure,
house is constantly blues. And I
yes,
think
yeah.
that that was just in her mind again, which is like that's a safe space for her, where being at home where her mother killed herself is not.
Right.
So I think that, yeah, so I did notice that. Another reason why I really like this movie is because it's they really using film techniques to its the best that they can. 'Cause
Yeah.
this movie doesn't seem like it was a huge budget. Not saying
No.
that it necessarily looked bad. I mean, it was just very simple. And the makeup was simple but very effective. The ghost stuff was also, there wasn't CGI, there wasn't any big really pieces. There was just some frightening small moments. And I think they used that to its effect. So it really is is telling of the filmmakers that they wanted to have something very is effectual even a word? I don't know. But
Effective.
like effective is a word, yes. Very effective within their budget. And I think that was
Yeah,
great.
I mean, these kids know what they're doing. They made a film and like understand mise en scène and all that shit. Like they know what they're doing. They made a very good film.
I also think it would hold up. Like, so I watched, like I said, this movie kind of reminded me of Insidious, but comparing the two, there's a little CGI in Insidious, and that CGI feels dated. It's very small, but it feels dated. So I feel like with this one movie would probably still look good in 10 years or so. Not
There
to say
is
with a
a
lot.
little CGI in this movie. Do you know where it is?
No, do tell.
It's the dog, because there's a scene where Daniel is possessed and he falls over all horny and he starts making out with the family dog. And I was happy to learn that they didn't actually do that with a dog. They had a dog puppet and then they used CGI to like make it look better.
That's incredible. I didn't even notice that.
No dogs were made out with in the making of this film.
That should have been at the end of the movie,
No dogs were French kissed in the making of this film.
I'm really grateful that, like, because I
I know,
thought
me
that was
too.
real. I was like, oh no. Oh, and the slurping noises. Oh my God. Great, good sound design in this movie too.
Oh yeah, it's gross. A lot of this movie's gross. And the violence I think has a sort of realism to it that's like gross. We didn't say, okay, so when we first meet Riley, Jade's little brother, he's with his stupid little friend, and he thinks of Mia as like another big sister. So he calls Mia to pick him up, and she does. And they're driving and they're singing Sia, Chandelier, like at the top of their lungs, like really having a fun time. And then they remember this is Australia, they come upon a dying kangaroo in the road, and the brother, and it's really fucked up. And the brother's like, it's dying, like we have to put it out of its misery. And Mia gets in the car like she's gonna run it over, but then stops right in front of it and then just keeps going. And he's like, what are you doing? We have to help it. And she's like, someone else will come along. And it's a really interesting, like, which evoke death, and it sort of echoes the ending of the film where it's like, can you put somebody out of their misery? If it's really interesting.
That was upsetting. Like
It
that.
is. It's very upsetting.
And also, I feel like, how would you like the thing I would worry about is if I was in that position is like, what if I run it over and it doesn't die and I just caused it more pain?
Right. And you fuck up your car. I mean, the way to do it is to get a big rock and smash its head. If you had to do
I'm glad you're thinking about this. I
that.
was
Yeah.
like, what do you make sure you have a knife in your car so you can slit its throat? Like, what do you
Look, you live
do?
in Australia.
Or
We've all
you
seen the documentary Crocodile Dundee. He carries a big knife.
Oh my God.
So okay, so the first party where they go and Riley, the mother, Riley and Jade's mother, Sue Miranda Otto from Lord of the Rings, she's obviously a single mother. She's working constantly. She's a nurse. She kind of doesn't. She seems like a very good mom, but she also knows that she doesn't have a total handle on them because she just can't be around enough. So she'll say like, like, don't sneak out. And she's like, I'm not gonna sneak out. And she's like, I know you're gonna sneak out. And then they sneak out, and then they bring the little brother. The little brother like guilts the older sister into it, or he no, he doesn't. He like blackmails her into it. He's like, I'll tell mom that you didn't pick me up when I called you. So he's like, fine. So the little brother comes, and they go to the party. Haley and Josh's party, and Mia is the first one to do the hand thing. She's seen videos of it and she wants to try it. She does it. She holds the hand and says, talk to me. And she first sees like an old white man wearing a suit with the sort of foggy looking pale eyes. And she freaks out and she lets go of it. And then they're like, oh no, you have to keep holding it, keep holding it. So she holds it again and she says it again. And now she sees like a woman who has like the same kind of eyes, but like her face looks a little deformed, but almost like she was drowned. Like her body was in water for a long time and her face is just sort of deforming. And she says, I let you in. And when they do, I let you in, it reminds me of in like Pulp Fiction when they show like someone doing heroin. I've never done heroin or been around anyone who did heroin, but. Like the way it's depicted in Pulp Fiction is like the minute it hits your veins, you're like bliss. Same thing like the wall, like in the comfortably numb scene. So like the minute she says, I let you in, you see Mia, like her head jerks back, and you hear like this sound, and the camera kind of moves too, and her pupils become totally black. And that's how you know they're possessed. And she's got this demon in her and she starts laughing maniacally. And then she does something weird that's never totally explained, which is she points to an empty spot in the room where there's no one standing and she goes, there you are. And everyone looks and there's nothing there. And then she looks at Riley, the young boy, and she's like, they like you. And then she says to someone else, oh, a door opens on its own. And then she says to someone else, he's behind you now. He'll split you, pretty boy. All this to this boy. And then she's like, run, run, run. And all the lights are flickering.
Oh, that was frightening.
There's a rule that Haley says, which is you can only have them in you for 90 seconds. Somebody there has to time it because at 90 seconds, you have to be pulled out of it. And the candle has to be blown out, locking the door. And Mia says, why? And she says, because they'll want to stay. And let's see. Oh, so when she first goes in, she starts resisting when they try to take her out of it, and she actually goes beyond 90 seconds, which is probably what dooms her in the to begin with.
I wondered about that is it's never explained how they know that. Like there
Well,
had to be
it's not
some.
ex a lot of it's not explained. That's a sort of reminding me of the movie. It Follows, where it's like there's something. It's like the hand is passed on. We know that they got the hand from Duckett, who was the kid we saw in the first scene who stabs himself in the eye, but we don't know where Duckett got it from. Later
Yeah.
on, Joss is like, oh, it looks ceramic, but actually inside is the cut-off hand of a medium. And that's why when you grab it, you can see the dead. And then Haley's like, I heard it was a cut-off hand of a Satanist. And there's another hand out there somewhere. So we don't know where the hand comes from, who had the hand. We just know that it passes the person to person, and kids use it like drugs in a party atmosphere, and we don't know why it works. Just the simple concept of the hand is such a good high concept to make a movie around, even without interesting characters, but it has interesting characters.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right, because then you wonder, like, if they broke the ceramic, would there be a human hand in there?
Right.
It's also the way they hold the hand sometimes, it almost looks, it doesn't look like a ceramic, it looks like you're holding something that, I guess, I don't know if I'd say flesh, but, like, you could squeeze it, like, you can move the fingers a little bit, like, if it was ceramic, I don't think it would move like that. So
Interesting. Yeah.
that's something else. Yeah, and I don't think we necessarily need to know that, but
Oh,
it's
no.
fascinating how like
I love the little graffiti all over it too, like the kids like write on it and so it's such an interesting thing because when you think about like being a teenager and playing with drugs and playing with sex, you're doing these very dangerous things in a very cavalier way, and that's maybe what it means to be someone that age. And that's definitely what these kids are doing. I mean, these kids are like, let's have a party where we let ourselves get possessed by spirits. And what a high that is. And then we laugh and clap and go like, wow, that was a good one. And everyone's like, whoa. And it's like a party. But it's like, it's such a dangerous, crazy thing. Like, not only do they exist in a world where this exists, they're like totally cool with it. They just treat it like a drug.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting though is like they are recording it, so people are
Yeah.
seeing it. We don't really see like the reactions necessarily or how it spreads. And also it seems like the adults are largely unaware that this is
Yeah.
happening.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and Duckett's brother at one point, I can't remember if it was actually at the beginning or later on, but he talks about how Duckett is just wanting to be liked and people are pretending to be his friend,
Yeah.
right? And
Because he
there is
had
the,
it.
because, yeah, because he had the hand and it,
Yeah.
those were superficial or relationships, really, but it,
Yeah.
that need to belong doomed him. And I think
Yes.
that also dooms Mia
Yeah.
and it almost dooms Riley too.
Yeah. And
It's
Josh
that,
says that Duckett gave him the hand because he said, I no longer needed to see them.
oof.
Which I think would mean, even if the 90-second rule is bullshit, I think the more times you do it, the probably more you're susceptible to seeing the other side or being tricked. Because that's basically what happens, right? She's sort of like tricked. Or not. I don't know. It depends on what you think about what happens later.
I think she's tricked. I think the ghosts, the more, I mean, again, like I have to like kind of make certain assumptions, but the way the ghosts behave and their kind of desperate need to
Yeah.
feel, which again, kind of like addiction, right? Like
Yeah,
they're
yeah,
addicted
yeah.
to being alive. It's they'll do anything to get their fix. So I think the longer that you're either in the hand or in that kind of netherworld that they live in, the more power that they have over you. So
Yes,
I
yes.
think that's why this the 90 seconds rule is in there is because
Yeah.
then they let go. It's kind of, again, this is explored in Insidious where the concept is that a child has the ability to astral project, but the longer he's in the astral projection, the separation from his body, the more power the spirits have.
Yeah.
So and can manipulate and him. So that's kind of like I'm seeing that similarity here too,
Yes,
where it seems
yes.
like they get stronger too. The more
Which
you
again, like, goes with the drug aspect of it, right? The more you let a drug into your life, the more it has an effect on you.
and the more you need it.
Right. And the more you need it. Right.
Which I think that's also a thing that happens here. It's like Mia needs to do it
Yes.
again and again.
Right. One of the biggest scares, as you say, this movie doesn't have any jump scares. Which is like, as I've said before, I'm not anti jump scare necessarily, but if a movie is nothing but jump scares, I do feel like that's a little cheap. This movie, the closest thing it comes to a jump scare is Riley, because he's a young kid, he doesn't he's freaked out by what happened. A ghost got very creepy with him and called him pretty boy and said, "We'll split you in two," and he's not feeling good
Oh.
about it. So he wants to sleep in his sister's room. She says no. She's like, get the fuck out. You're grown. You're not a baby anymore. So he goes and sleeps on the couch with Mia. And then we see he's asleep and he's holding like his phone in his hand and he's got earbuds in. And we just see Mia's hand come in and take the phone and tuck him in and take the earbuds out. And then in the next instant, you see a creepy, like dead, rotted nail hands come and just like stroke Riley's cheek. And it's just so, I mean, you literally, if you were like looking it down at your popcorn, you'd miss it. It's such a quick thing, especially because like you're misdirected of like you, because you see her hand and then you see another hand. But it again, it's like it's a really good scare, but also it's like, what does that mean? Like, is that her? Is are we seeing something in her? Is that still her hand? Or is like the spirits are just all around and now they've got their eyes on Riley? It's all very it's crazy. It's crazy. Because it does seem like Riley's the prize. Like she's Mia is the one who gets manipulated by the spirits, but it's like it seems like what they want is Riley.
Which makes you wonder why. Is it his age? Because he's, I think, like Mia and the other kids are anywhere between like 16 and 19,
Yeah.
where Riley, I think, is like 14. Like he's
Yes.
really young.
Well, maybe like it is it, again it's like he's like if they were truly going to possess you, right? Like he's a younger body. He's you know what I mean? He probably feels to be inside him probably feels like, you know, your fresh body. But there's also something creepy and pedophilic about it. I mean, the spirit saying they'll split you in two, pretty boy,
Oh
is
God.
pretty sexual.
That was so creepy. I mean this movie is creepy. Like that's really kind of the scares here more than anything is just like the creep factor.
Yeah.
And kind of that unsettling, like, you know, as
Yeah,
opposed to jump
yeah.
scares and stuff. And it is creepy. It's very creepy. Ooh. So one of the like we mentioned earlier, the toe sucking was just oh man, just thinking about it kind of makes me cringe because I hate feet, I'll be honest. Like I just and it also so okay, so the scene is Jade is I guess at her house. Mia is with Jade's
Well,
boyfriend who
it's after the next big part.
yeah.
You want to
Okay, sorry.
yeah, put a pin in it.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Put a pin in it. The next thing that happens is the next night, Mia again, Mia is immediately hooked, which happens with things like opioids. But the very next night, Mia's like, "Oh, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Oh, we could do it at your house." And the mother's out working, so they do it in her house and they invite Haley and Josh over. It's Riley, his little friend. It's Jade's boyfriend, Daniel, who's this like Christian kid. Although he might be asexual, he might be gay. I'm not sure. There's some weirdness about that because I forget who, but somebody's possessed, because the possessed ghosts seem to be able to like tell the truth about what they're looking at, and it freaks people out. Whoever it is that's possessed looks at Daniel, oh no, looks at Jade and says about Daniel, he hates when you touch him. You make him soft. And that's really actually leads to right after that's the biggest laugh in the movie where Haley goes, "Whoa, this spirit's a cunt." This is where Daniel decides to try it, and Daniel has this gets all horny and fucking makes out with the dog. And then he leaves, and Haley leaves with him. And the Riley's like, "I really want to try. I really want to try." And Jade's like, "No, you're too young." But then Jade leaves, and then he's like, "Come on, Mia, let me try. Well, just for 60 seconds." So he does, but he immediately starts talking to Mia like he's her mother. He's like, "I love you, Mia. I'm so sorry I left you. I never would leave you. I never meant to hurt you. I didn't do it on purpose." And Mia's like, "Oh my God, this is my mother." And Haley's like, "Okay, time's almost up. We gotta fucking bring him out of this." And she's like, "No, I gotta keep talking to my mother." And then, in a very disturbing scene, like Riley smashes his face into the table in front of him and he's bleeding. And everyone's like, "Oh shit." And then the chair on its own, like, flies into like into a wall. And then there's a like another table there. And he starts just continuously banging his fucking head, like smashing his head in. He grabs at his own eye, like digging his own eye out. And you see like his eye in between his fingers, like he's squeezing his eye. It's so fucked up. And then Haley runs in right as he's about to like probably smash himself and kill himself. And she puts her hand there and he breaks her hand with his head.
It was
And now,
Jade, right?
yeah, and now they're fucked because now that she has to call her mom and say, "Yeah, I had a party, and yeah, he's really fucked up. He's really in bad shape." And while that everyone's freaking out about that, and like, "Oh my God, do we call the cops?" Whatever. Mia's all fucked up because she's like, "Oh my God, I saw my mom." And then she walks out into the kitchen and she sees there's a door in the kitchen with like frosted glass, and she sees a figure beyond it that looks like her mother. This is when she starts to see her mother outside in the world. Oh, I didn't say there is a fun montage here Before things get heavy, where you just see them all doing it like over and over again. It's just like it's like a drug montage. It's just like it's music is playing and they cut to like the camera's moving and they cut to them all being possessed in all these different weird ways. Mia's possessed at one point. She's singing in French and everyone's having a great time. And then the kid fucks himself up, and so then he goes to the what do you call it? The hospital. His mother. He's really fucked up. He's in the hospital, and Jade is with the mother in the hospital and with Riley. And then Mia, Daniel's like, I don't know what to do. Like, I told my dad I was sleeping over at my cousin's house. The cops didn't call my parents because I'm over 18. All the rest of their parents all heard about it, and they all think it was drugs. They all like, what did you give him? You gave him drugs. The mother, who's like her surrogate mother, is like, you know. I don't want to see you again. She like kicks Mia out of the hospital. She's like, don't come back here again. I'll call the cops. It's like really heartbreaking. And so Daniel's like, I can't go home. So Mia's like, come to my house. And he's like, I don't know. We used to date. It might be weird. And she's like, come on, I don't want to be alone. So they go over to his house. She's very, this is a moment where I feel like I don't like her because she's being very flirty with him. They're like, she's like, do you still have small hands? And they like put their hands together to like see whose hand is bigger, but they're just like touching hands. And then they go to sleep. And then you were talking about this scene that stuck with
Yeah.
you.
Well, one thing I was wondering about that is like, was he uncomfortable because he's dating her best friend? Or was he uncomfortable because he has almost, like possibly asexual feelings? Like
I don't
that's what I
know.
was wondering. It's like it's something that's not totally explored.
Right.
And but I could see why you didn't like her in that moment. That's why I really enjoy the character, is that she's so flawed. And sometimes I can't tell if she actually likes Daniel or that she is almost like she's looking for any kind of
She's
distraction
so
for her
needy.
life. Yeah, she's super needy, and it kind of reminds me of people that I've known in the past who just have indulged in self-destructive behavior. Like it's not about having the affair or that person so much as like you just need something else to focus on.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
So
probably. Yeah.
so any of those things. So yeah, so they're sleeping over, and they're sleeping he interesting head to foot, which honestly I think that's Daniel's idea.
Probably.
Yeah. Just like let's make this as least sexual as possible. And B Mia wakes up in the middle, like she hears a sound. She wakes up in the middle of the night and she sees a ghost sucking on Daniel's foot. And
Yes.
so she's watching this happen, and it's so harrowing and awful. And the way it's lit is like, I don't know. It just,
It reminds
and
me a
it.
little bit of area of Hereditary because we see the camera pans across her dark bedroom and this spirit is just standing in the corner and you kind of don't even clock it at first. You're like, oh, you think it's like a coat or something. And then it starts to crawl and you're like, oh shit, that's a fucking spirit there. And then
That's what
it
makes it
yeah,
worse. Like
yes.
it's not moving that fast.
It's crawling.
Also, why is it crawling? Like,
Yeah, I don't
again,
know.
not it doesn't need to be answered, but the way the spirits move is so unsettling.
Yes.
And that's what makes it really
Yeah.
effective. And it's something as simple as an actor crawling on the
Yeah.
floor. Was she naked? I
She's
can't
wearing a
remember.
like a nightie.
That's even creepier. Like, it's
Right,
just.
because it's like she probably did she die in that? Her face looks like bludgeoned. Like was she killed in a domestic abuse situation?
Yeah, that's more questions. But like she starts sucking on Daniel's foot, and Mia's just watching this happen, like
Yeah.
horrified. And it's really disgusting,
Ugh.
and just,
But
and
then D
it's.
Daniel wakes up and we see it's Mia sucking on his toes. She was like in her, she was dreaming, I guess, or something. And he's like, what the
Or,
fuck are
yeah.
you doing?
So it, or like an out of body
Yes,
experience,
yeah.
or something like that. But it was so indulgent, like this foot sucking, and it was
Yeah.
just. Oh my God. And it's so freaky and uncomfortable.
He storms out. And she's like, she starts to really freak out. She starts smacking herself and like hurting herself. And she's like really having a breakdown. And then she decides to use the hand alone. And I have to tell you, this is another drug thing. Like let's say, like, I, by the way, I'm not like a huge drug person. Like, when I did, I just smoked weed and sometimes took pills. I never did heroin. I never did coke. I never did any of that stuff because I knew I'd love it, so I didn't do it. So,
Smart.
but the thing is, like, even with drinking, like when you want to do it so much, you decide to do it alone. That's usually a bad sign that you're becoming dependent. And she's like, she wants to do it alone. She says she wants to do it to see her mother. Or I should say, something very interesting happens where we forgot, which is she says to Daniel, "That was my mother." And he's like, "Ah, how do you know it was your mother?" And she's like, "Well, she called me. That's what was my mother's nickname for me." And then Daniel's like, "I think when they're inside of us, they could read our memories," which is probably true, right? That makes some sense.
Right, because they're possessing the body
Right.
and the mind's a part of the body.
Right,
So
right. Maybe they look for weakness. Maybe they prey on people like her who are grieving,
I think that
which is
makes
what
a lot
drug
of
dealers
sense.
do.
That makes sense.
By the way, I'm just reading it this way for fun. I'm not somebody who likes to just like come up with a reading of it and go, it's about drugs. Like, I don't think doing it that way is useful. It could be about a lot of other things. It's just the one that's sort of stuck in my mind at the moment.
I think it's a good read. I think it's very valid.
Riley's all fucked up. Like, it's you rarely see this in a horror movie, like them in the hospital convalescing. Like, he's like, his face has like stitches. He just looks like his skull was fractured. His eye is all fu he's got a patch on his eye. It's just like, oh my God, this kid is really in bad shape.
It's fascinating that that's the scene where he was heart like doing that self-harm with the spirits in
Yeah.
him. It felt like it was really fast. Like he wasn't, it felt like it was only like a minute of him doing that stuff to himself. And then like the result of that is probably weeks and weeks of recovery. And you're right, that's not really shown in horror movies.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. It's also doesn't he, whenever he is conscious, he keeps trying to hurt himself?
Yes, it's fucked up.
It's frightening. So you're mentioning that Miranda Otto plays his mom and Jade mom from Lord of the Rings. I
Yeah.
remember her from that Netflix Sabrina show. She was Aunt Zelda.
Oh yeah.
And she was very different in that movie. So it's kind of a show. So it's kind of interesting to make those comparisons.
Yeah.
She's still like a little spooky. Like I feel like she's
Yeah. She's
something
great. I
about her
like her
look.
a lot. She's really good.
I
She's
like
great
her
as the
too.
mom here. She does this really funny thing where she's like, "You having a party tonight?" And they're like, "No, we're not." And the boyfriend's at the door. So she opens the door and she's like, "Hey, what time is the party tonight?" And he's like, "What party? I don't know what you're saying." And she's like, "No, it's cool. I know about it. Just what time is it supposed to start?" And he's like, "I don't know what party you're talking about." And she's like, okay. All right. You're good." So she's clever. She knows, you know, what's going on next. Oh, so she does it alone and she sees her mother or a spirit that looks like her mother. And it says like, "I love you. I miss you. I didn't die. I didn't kill myself. I didn't do it on purpose. It was a mistake. I would never leave you." And this is like, this is what Mia wants to believe. So she's like, "Oh my God, this is it. And I believe this spirit. The spirit's got to be my mother."
Also, like, can I just say, like, the makeup, the actor that they used portrayed
Her mom.
Mia's mother, she has a very angular face. So,
Yes.
like, the makeup kind of make it enhances that angular kind of look, like the sharp nose and the kind of jawline, and
Yeah.
the contacts that they use, like all the ghosts have
Yeah.
that kind of milky white. It was frightening. Like, it
Yeah.
was so
Yeah, it was.
simple, but
And she
it
had
was
blue
really effective.
lips, which again makes her look like she drowned.
Yeah, that
And
was,
blood under her and blood and wood under her nails.
it was spooky. It was like very effective.
So what happens next? We don't have to go through every single thing, long story short, right? Jade and Mia have a fight. She's like, "I wish you didn't force yourself into my family. It's pretty fucked up." Mia says she's seeing stuff without the hand, and everyone's like, "Ooh, that's not good." They think maybe Mia's like, "Hey, did we when Daniel was not Daniel, when Riley was doing it, when he was fucking his head up, did anyone blow the candle out?" And everyone's like, "We don't remember." And she's like, "Well, maybe that's it. Maybe the door's open. Maybe we go into his hospital, we do it again, and then we blow the candle out. We close the door." And so they do that. They sneak to the hospital with the hand. Jade's with it's Jade and Maya. And she What is she? She holds a hand and but she says like talk to him or something like that. And then you see like a little dead girl sitting on his bed, and this little girl's like, I know where he is. I can show you. Like you see a vision of him like he's naked and there's a bunch of old creepy naked people like writhing and like clawing at his body. Like
Oh.
it looks very like Hieronymus Bosch kind of hell going on. And that freaks me out. Me is like, oh my God, he's in eternal pain. He's suffering. And she, as the movie goes on, Mia is just more and more detached from reality. Mia goes home and her dad's like, listen, I gotta tell you something. But Mia's so fucked up at this point. You don't know if she's dreaming or this is crazy. Is this really her dad or not? The dad's like, listen, your mom left a note and I never showed it to you because I didn't think you could handle it. But you're right. You deserve to see it. And it's a suicide note. It's, you know, I love you both. Like today I woke up and I was happy for the first time because I knew I was gonna end it. I hope you both have longer lives. And me
Oof.
like, that's a lie, that's not true. She told me she didn't do it. And the phone's like, who, what? What do you mean she told you? She runs into her room and the Mia's mother is there, and she's like, don't believe him, that's not your father. Which is interesting because it reminds me of that like short story of like the little kid. There's the mother comes in to tuck our kid in, and the little kid is like, "Mommy, I'm scared. There's a monster under my bed." And the mother's like, "You want me to look?" And she's like, "Yeah." And then she looks under the bed, and it's the little kid. And he goes, "Mom, come down here and hide. There's a monster up there." Have you ever heard that one?
No.
It's like a short story slash riddle kind of like thing. And it's kind of like that because you're like, shit, who's telling the truth? And you hear the father slamming at her door, and you're like, well, he's getting very aggressive. But then you see a shot of the father sitting back on the couch, and you're like, oh shit, there is a fake father somewhere. And then the fake father comes in, and he looks dead, and he's him and Mia are fighting. And then the real father comes in to try to stop her, and she goes to stab the fake spirit father in the neck with a scissors, and she does it to her real father. And
Oh.
then she's like, ah, fuck. And then she like gets it in her head like she has to kill Riley. She has to put like Riley out of his misery.
Yeah, 'cause that's what her mom is, ghost mom is saying, is like, you have to save him by killing him.
Right. And then she tricks Jade. She's like, Jade, I need you to come over to my house. So Jade goes over to her house. So while Jade is out of the hospital, she sneaks in. And then she sees the mother, and the mother, like, she has a really nice moment where the mother's like, I'm so sorry for what I said to you. You really are like family. You know, I thought you gave him drugs, but the toxicology report said that there was no drugs in his system. I couldn't accept that he had a mental breakdown, and I blamed it on you, and I love you. And it's like, at that point, as an audience member, you're like, oh man, like, things are turning better. Like, just get the fuck out of there. At some point, they talk to Duckett's brother, and he says something interesting. He goes, don't worry, your brother's gonna be fine. They can't stand you long. Eventually, they'll just leave on their own. Which is, if that's true, that's interesting too, because that's not what Mia thinks is happening.
No, it's not how she's operating.
Jade goes to Mia's house, finds the dad. He's not dead, but he's very fucked up. Mia steals Riley from the hospital, and she sees Riley as like a gross old man. Who's like, eh, like he looks all like burnt and like he looks like Deadpool, but older. And what Jade comes back and sees, she sees Mia with Riley in a wheelchair, and she's like going up a hill with him, and she's gonna like throw him. It looks like she's gonna throw him into traffic. And then the mother ghost puts her hand on Mia's shoulder, and she says something that I think tips Mia off. What does she say? Let's see. Oh, she says, I can protect him, we'll have him forever, which I think makes Mia realize, like, oh no, this isn't really my mother. But it's also
Split second.
echoing the kangaroo moment. And then we see inside of a car on the highway, and something hits the car, but it's not Riley, it's Mia. Mia throws herself into traffic, and then she gets up and moves around, and then suddenly, like, she stays in the same place, but the background changes and she's in the hospital, and she sees Riley's up and doing fine and everybody looks good. She sees her dad leaving the hospital and she starts chasing him. And like, this is such a cool way to use something practical in a sort of supernatural way, is just the lights in the hospital start going off one by one. So it's like shutting out. And then eventually the father, she can't reach the father, and then it's all darkness.
She also sees Riley leave the hospital. Like,
Yes.
so that's when you kind of realize, like, before we saw him in a wheelchair, barely moving. So it's like, that's also an indication that time has moved forward.
Right. Well, everything looks so good. Is it time moving forward? Is it a lie? Is it the truth? Like, I want to think it's the truth. It's fucked up. And then she's in total darkness, and she sees like a little ball of light, and she walks up to it, and she puts her hand out, and then she's holding hands with some kid in a party, and he says, "I let you in," and then she just, before she could do anything, it cuts, and that's the end. So she is one of the, she's dead. She's one of the spirits now. And someone using the hand reached out to her.
It was also I believe I was watching the movie with subtitles just 'cause that's my default usually, and I
Yeah.
think they weren't speaking, they talked, or I Let You In was in English, but
Yes.
everything else was, I think, in Greek, or at least that's what the translation told me.
So it's a
So
different part of the world. Yeah.
it's a different part of the world. It also is it the same, it looks like the same hand.
Well, I went back and checked because I was like, throughout the movie, it's a left hand. So I was like, is it a left hand still? And it was. Because I want to see if it were a right hand, because then it would be the thing Haley said would be true if there is another hand out there. It was a left hand. Did you see that ending coming? Did you see it going in that tragic way?
I can't say exactly that I did, but I had a feeling that things wouldn't work out for Mia
Okay.
because I think, like, I don't know if that makes sense, but it kind of like I had a feeling just because of the way the choices that she made and how easily she was manipulated up until the last few minutes of the movie,
Yeah.
it kind of seemed like she's going down this dark path and there's no way out.
It's sad, really. It's a
It
bummer
really
end.
is. Yeah. What did you see it coming?
I didn't. Like, I mean, horror movies always can have a downer ending. That it's one of the only genres that's common. But I guess I did think she'd get out of it somehow. But once she threw herself in the traffic, I knew she was dead. Like when she got back up, there was no part of me that was like, "Oh, she's okay." Like I immediately knew she's dead there. Her spirit is getting back up,
Yeah, I
and
didn't
she
think she
died on that road,
survived
like the raccoon,
the kangaroo.
kangaroo. Sorry, raccoon,
Yes. Whatever, same thing.
raccoonie.
Yeah, that I guess I would say probably kangaroos are the muscular equivalent of raccoons in North
Sure,
America.
sure, sure. So let's look at some of these mysterious things. First of all, so are you sure that it's not Mia's mother?
Yes.
Okay.
The reason why is because it's a little too eager to push her to a certain direction.
Do you think that
That's
it's ever her mother? Like maybe it's at one moment it is and then it isn't, or it's never her mother?
I think it's never her mother. I mean, we don't, the only thing we know about Mia's mother is that she died and she wanted to die. Like, that's it. And also it seemed like her marriage wasn't that great, because why would the husband be sleeping on the couch otherwise? Right? So I don't think it was her mother. It makes me wonder if her mother is in the spirit world or where they are, or is there another life? Because it just seems very eager and keeps pushing for her to kill Riley. And I feel like a parent wouldn't do that.
Okay. I probably agree with you, but something that I was thinking about was, what if it is, and this is a sort of dark thought, but when you die and you enter the spirit realm, you just become evil. Because the spirits in this, like, there's no heaven or hell. Even like they call them spirits, but they don't look like ghosts in any way that we've seen ghosts. Like, there's something very loathsome about these spirits. And I thought, like, maybe it is the mother, and the mother's just, like the dead just want more company. I mean, that's just a thought. You're probably right. But then you think, like, yeah, why did she scratch at the door? But again, that's something normal that happens. See, none of it's ever like clean. It's never like cut and dry. Another little moment that I didn't notice the first time I saw it, and I don't know if you noticed it. when Riley does it with a hand, there's the first step where you say, talk to me, and then you can see spirits, and then the next step you say, I let you in, and then you're possessed. We don't see what he sees, but when he says, talk to me, you see his his eyebrows sort of crinkle, and he goes, what the fuck? And it seemed to me, and I watched it back, it seemed to me that he was recognizing whatever he was seeing. Did you notice that?
I didn't actually. That's
Go
interesting.
back and look at it. It could be just one of these interesting incongruities that's just there to be interesting. Or for, I mean, it's interesting that you don't see who he's seeing, right? He's a major character in this movie, and typically you see what who they see. And just like he doesn't seem scared. He's like more quizzical about it. It's interesting. Maybe it was and that made me think maybe that was the mother. Maybe he recognizes me as mother or some, who knows what, or any, who knows?
Because all you know is that their mother is a single parent. She makes a part of her dialogue later on when Riley's in the hospital was like, I have to contact your father or something like that.
No, I
So
don't think he
it
saw his own mother. I think he saw Mia's mother.
no, what I'm saying is like I at first I wasn't sure if their dad was dead or
Oh,
they
okay,
were
yeah.
just divorced. So I think that they're just divorced. So it's like you're wondering who he could have saw. It could have been Mia's mother.
Right.
It could have been, I mean, honestly, it could have been
Yeah.
any relative that they had that
Right. If
died.
Daniel's right that they mine your memory, it could be anything that he would recognize.
You're also, because we only get these few instances of seeing like the kinds of ghosts that this activity attracts, you don't really know if the whole, if every spirit or ghost orb is like that, or these are people that had unfinished business. That's generally what, like, kind of, I mean, every media type is
Typically, that's what
different.
ghosts are depicted as, right? As having some sort of, yeah.
But then, I mean, if we think of it in that way, then that means the ghosts that are showing up are the ones that are the most desperate, and that's why they lie and manipulate and try to take you over. So then, like, maybe the more satisfied spirits aren't doing that kind of stuff. Like, who knows?
Right,
But.
right, right. Like you, if you like the way Mia looks at the end is she's in complete darkness and lost, and she just walks towards the one little light that she could see, which is a very lonely way of thinking about the afterlife.
Oh, it's horrible. It really it did remind me of being like in the deep ocean when you see those when you see footage and you can't see anything unless it's really close to you and you have some sort of light or like one of those lantern, you know those lantern fish that have that light on their head. It's terrifying. Oh, man. I guess the moral of the story here is don't die. Just
That's right. You heard it here, kids.
don't die ever.
so do you, you you could you've been comparing this to Insidious. Do you think this is better than Insidious or not as or on par with it or what?
I think in some ways it's definitely better than Insidious, and in other ways it's on par. Like I feel like this would be a great movie night, would be to watch some of these movies like back to back. I think that'd be fun. I definitely like the characters a little better in Talk to Me. And Talk to Me also raises more questions. Though in Insidious, they have some interesting. The ghost stuff is the most interesting, and the afterlife is the most interesting in that movie. And I would say, in this way, this movie too, like the unanswered questions of that afterlife is so fascinating. Would you recommend this movie?
I would absolutely recommend it. I think this is a really good horror movie. I think it's a really good movie. If you're somebody who just from a stimulation point of view doesn't like jump scares, you'll be fine with this. There's no jump scares. And it's like,
Just
yeah, it's a thinker. It's a it's thoughtful without being pretentious in any way. I mean, you could just watch it as a romp, but if you look at it closely, there are questions to be asked. You know what fucks me up about Insidious? There's one of the spirits is this little boy, and I didn't notice it when I saw it, but then I saw like a video on YouTube where they were like, look, if you see in all these scenes, the little boy's just standing there in the background. And it just thinking about it now gives me a chill. The idea of like a ghost just standing there in the background, that's the same shit you saw in like Haunting of Hill House. Like
Yes.
a ghost is just tell me, like, oh, the thing that you already watched. Well, guess what? There was a ghost in the background that you weren't looking at. That freaks me out more than anything.
Or some of the stat I'm actually rewatching that series this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's still so good. And the statues are also, some of them change places.
Really?
At least once it looks like the statue moves from one cut to another. And again, like, that's something else that's
Yeah.
never like addressed. It's terrifying.
It's better in Hill House because when they did Bly Manor, there's one scene where they went too far where literally there's just a ghost standing basically right there. And it's like, we all see this ghost, right? Like, nobody doesn't see this ghost wearing a fucking Black Plague mask.
Oh,
Right.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Bly Manor was a bit of a disappointment, but they did have some really good scares in
Did
it.
you see Midnight Mass?
Yeah, I watched
I
that last
haven't seen
week.
that. Was that good?
It starts off very slow. Like, the first two episodes are really slow and they're just kind of easing into it, but I enjoyed it. Like, the series as a whole, I think, was interesting. It's different than his other work.
You know, they're giving him the Exorcist franchise. What do you think of
Okay.
that?
Well, I haven't caught up with that franchise at all, but
It's
I
mostly
mean,
not good.
so he I don't think he could do any worse. Like,
He certainly can't do any worse than what the last one was, for sure.
what was the last one?
It was by David Gordon Green, who did the new Halloween movies. It was Exorcist the Believer.
Okay.
It was not very good.
I have not caught up with Halloween either because I feel like at this point, Jamie Lee Curtis is in, like, what, her late 70s?
Yeah.
Wouldn't she have died by now? Or she's died multiple times in the series. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know. It gets kind of tired,
I
but
saw the first one and really disliked it, and everyone else seemed to like it. And I was like, I don't know, guys, I don't like it. But then two and three came out of Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends, and it seemed like more people were like, these movies aren't good at all. Especially Halloween Ends. So I was like, I haven't even bothered looking at them.
I understand why studios keep churning out like
Sure.
sequels and prequels and remakes. I get it, because you already have the rights to it. It's not hard. It's also like leaning on a name. But I feel like we've done it already. There's so much we learned about Michael's life. Like, how much more do we need?
I know.
And same thing goes for like Jason, a lot of it, Freddy Krueger. Like, they're
Yeah.
great, but can we try something new? Like, I think Talk to Me is refreshing in that. It's like, it's a new type of horror. I
Yeah,
mean,
I'll
it's a
take. Yeah.
new monster, new types of
Yeah.
horror. I'll take a interesting new failure over a
I get it.
mediocre sequel or reboot or whatever.
I don't know if they're going to make a sequel to this movie, but I would accept it. It probably wouldn't be that good. But if you just do more like with the hands, just do more hand stuff. Although, here's what I don't want. I don't want Talk to Me, the prequel, where it's like the life of the person whose hand it is. Like, that shit I don't need. But just do more of like kids hanging out with a hand. That's what I would want.
I think that's more interesting. Yeah, another thing that I don't like that I feel like has been a trend in the last like decade or two of movies is like the real story behind the story you thought you knew, and I'm like, I don't care. Can we just
Yeah, I know. No one needs that.
I don't need a tragic backstory. I guess it's like, for lack of better examples, like the Joker treatment. Like, I don't care about the Joker's life.
Yeah.
He's a good villain, like, in comic books or movies, because you don't know where he comes from, and he doesn't know, and he doesn't care. It's
Right.
just about what he's doing in that moment. And just having a tragic backstory was like, okay, sure, but he killed a lot of people. So it doesn't, what does that mean? That traumatized people traumatize other people? Like, what are you trying to
Yeah.
say here? Like,
No, yeah.
it's boring. It's
Well,
very
Nadia,
boring.
this has been a great episode. I enjoy talking to you about horror. Next week, we're going to talk about another horror movie, and you're going to be back for our Halloween festivities as well.
I'm really excited for that.
All right. We end every episode by saying,
So, bye-bye.